IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers in the studio, Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma. Well, assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Abdullah, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me again.
You're welcome. And Sister Asma, my salam to you, my greetings, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam, and such a pleasure to be here.
And the pleasure is ours all the time. And we are trying to, in this program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio, criticize the movie Father Stu. It is produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross, starring very famous names of Hollywood, such as Mel Gibson and Mark Wahlberg and Teresa Lewis. Well, before me asking you questions regarding this movie and the critique, we have to listen to a short part of this movie, Father Stu, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
Well, what's everybody waiting for? Let's pray.
I'll do it.
Oh, it'll be my pleasure.
Te damos gracias por estos alimentos que nos diste y por la alegría de esta hora con los que pudimos servir de todos corazón te lo pedimos por Jesucristo nuestro Señor. Amén.
Back to the program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Well, Sister Asma, I want to ask you a question regarding that part in the movie. Isn't it a good culture to say grace and pray before eating? This seems to be like a part of a Christian tradition.
Of course,
right?
Yes.
We all always see it in the Christian families when some of them hold hands, you know?
Yes.
The family members or whoever they invite to the table of food before starting eating or prior to that, you know, they start saying grace.
Yes.
This is a very good culture, I guess.
Exactly.
Like it's some sort of thanksgiving or,
exactly,
or thanking God or something like that, you know? Why do, Muslims, like we see it in the Muslim families and communities also, thank God and pray after eating?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you make of it?
Well, you know, I guess we start with the name of Allah and then in the end we thank Him for all the blessings He has given us or all the things that we have been provided by Him, by His blessings.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there's not much of a difference with that. They do it at the very beginning, the introduction of eating, and we do it in the end. And through the process of eating, we also consider the fact that not many people have got the chance to have this much of food on their tables or have this much of blessings. So the important point about it is just to consider the fact that there is a God, there is an Almighty,
yes,
who is bestowing you with all this much of blessings and benefits that you are having right now. So that's the only point, I guess. You should just consider that every good thing you have in life might be a treasure for somebody else. Somebody else might not have it, so you have it and you should be thankful. That's it. And in all religions, we have it.
I see. Sayyid Abdullah, any comment on this? Does it make a difference whether you say grace like the Christians before eating and thanking God like the Muslims after eating?
Actually, all religions, like let's say the Abrahamic religion, Christianity, Judaism and Islam, these three major religions, three of them, they say grace before and after.
Mm-hmm.
So Christianity, they usually what we see on TV, people saying before it, but actually they even have a grace after it as well. So right. They're supposed to say it too. Mm-hmm. But in the movies, they only show you that they say the beginning and at the end, they just get up, which is wrong. Technically speaking.
Yes.
Judaism exactly have the same thing, before and after. In Islam, we have the same thing as well, before and after.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, and from an Islamic traditions, we have many ahadith that comes in the form of dua that the Prophet says before you eat. Say, for example, say, Allahumma barik lana fi rizqina hada.
Right.
Right. So we have many ahadith, many du'as that we meant to read before eating food and even after eating food. So, but the problem is that we don't practice them. So the minimum we do as Muslims is we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which is I begin the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in a form itself as a du'a. But in reality, we have du'as.
But after that, we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil
Alameen. After that, we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Which is a kind of hamd.
Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a grace in itself.
Thanking or praise be to Allah, you know?
Yeah, so it's in itself, it's a grace as well. But
of course, I just want to, don't want to get into the details about the differences between hamd and shukr, by the way.
Obviously, we have a big difference there.
Yes.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He gave you. After. But having said that, like I said, in Islam, it's a very rich in terms of dua when it comes to before food and after food.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, this is a tradition in all major religions that they have to do when it comes to food. So you see that in the movies, they kind of emphasize on the fact that they have to say grace at the beginning, but at the end, they kind of leave it. Judaism, the same thing. Islam, the same thing
yes.
as well.
And we also have this verse from the Holy Quran. I remember that the few or far few of them, meaning people, would thank God.
وَقَلِيَ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so most people, they just dig in and they get up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, which is very, very sad.
Very rude, basically.
Yeah, very rude.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back with this critique and the question. Let's take a listen to a short part of the movie Fathers 2, produced in 2022. Thank you very much.
I'm going to be a priest.
What do you mean?
Well, it's five words. I've practiced them 100 times. What part's unclear?
Every part? You're going to be a priest?
Would you stop saying it like that?
Like what? Like it's insane?
Well, so is the idea of the man upstairs pulling strings. But you bought that like a pair of shoes? God saved me and forgave me to show me that there's a reason I'm here.
We need to have your head examined.
Trust me, Carmen. I tried every way I know to talk myself out of it, but the truth is, I ain't never been more clear.
Have you considered all this entails? Abstaining from booze and beatings, not to mention sex?
Well, you showed me I could do it.
Oh, no, I showed you could wait. A vow of celibacy means never again, then you die.
But there's more to life than sex. I can feel it.
Yeah, most people know that, Stu. Only most people find that other meaning in a passion or people or a family. You're setting yourself up for failure.
Nope. I've been testing myself.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah helping me in the criticism of the movie Fathers 2, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross, starring very famous names such as Mark Wahlberg and Mel Gibson. Sayyid Abdullah, let me put this question to you. Stu, or Stuart Long in the movie, Mark Wahlberg, telling Carmen, the girl,
mm-hmm.
the Sunday school teacher,
yeah,
that he decided to be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
Quite as a shock.
Yeah.
Well, he was an agnostic, if not atheist.
Mm-hmm.
His parents were atheists. But at the end of the movies, I don't want to spoil the movie for them. Carmen, in the hope of marrying Stu, tells Stu that this entails a vow of celibacy.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, you know, teach him a little bit of the basic principles of Christianity. And especially, we are not talking about like being a Christian. Yeah. We are talking about being a Catholic priest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is too much for somebody like as agnostic as that person, you know, not even atheistic.
Mm.
Well, for his entire life, he had to keep this vow of celibacy, right? Why shouldn't priests marry? This is my question in the first place, you know? Doesn't it, like, cause a lot of problems like we see as the ones We have witnessed in the Vatican so many moral scandals and child abuse and stuff like that.
Well, celibacy, it's a major problem in the Christian church. It was before and still now. So they came with the notion that being a priest, you need to devote yourself to Jesus Christ or to God or to the church, which means you have to cut yourself from all the pleasures of the world. In the Muslim world, if I can use it, we call Sufism.
Yeah.
To be Sufi is very similar to become a Christian or a priest who is in the state of celibacy, which you deprive yourself of all these pleasures. Now, the problem with, like I think the sister said in another episode, that desires are part of the human being. It's what makes us us.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to deprive yourself, you're kind of rejecting who you are, denying who you are. Sexuality is what is part of the human being. It makes him have fun. It's meant to be for him to enjoy. At the same time, it continues the link of a humanity.
Yes.
If you deprive yourself of that, obviously you're going to have a problem, because you're not only just saying, I don't want to get married. You're fighting against nature itself. You're fighting against your own body. You're fighting against your own system. Against your own, let's say your hormone production.
Mm.
You're fighting against it, and you're not going to win because you're fighting against nature. What tends to happen is in the process of celibacy is that you're going to have a side effect, right?
Right.
So pedophilia initiated in the church.
Yes.
Rape was initiated in the church. A lot of sins is in terms of sexuality, the church was a source for it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because these people, at the end of the day, they're human beings.
Mm.
Maybe they.
And there were lots of movies, by the way, about this.
Yeah, it was like in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was a major problem, I remember,
mm-hmm.
for the church. And the church...
Quite recently, by the way, the Vatican, accepted and admitted to all of those
sins.
Yeah,
because it came to a stage where... So at the beginning, they used to cover it up.
Yeah, exactly.
But after years of covering it up, they just couldn't, because the amount of kids who were abused and molested by the priests was too much to cover.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't one or two. It wasn't 100 or 200. It wasn't thousands. And so people got fed up with it. And and the church, they took a lot of measures to try to, I don't know, at least cleanse the church from these kind of people. But they could not eradicate the problem, because the problem is within the church itself.
Exactly. That's more fundamental.
Exactly. It is very fundamental. It's part of the church. That's the problem.
Where does it originate, this celibacy?
I haven't found an actual source for it. It's not like...
They ascribed it to Jesus Christ because he was not married. This is what they say.
In a way, they do. But, I mean, does it have a basis in the Bible? It doesn't. Is there anywhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Bible that as a priest you should be this? They shouldn't. It's more like of an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
They said, okay, Jesus did not get married. Virgin Mary did not get married, even though she had a boyfriend. But she did not get married. So the nuns devote themselves to the church of being virgins, and so do the priests as well.
Mm-hmm.
They avoid, because Jesus Christ himself did not get married. But it does not have any basis.
You know
what I mean? It's not based on anything fundamental in terms of faith. For example, I have ayah, I have a verse from the Quran, I have a hadith from the Prophet, and based on that I'm working. There's nothing like that in Christianity. It's more like an ideology, just exactly like the Trinity. There's nothing about the Trinity that existed.
It happened.
Trinity was added later on.
Later on, in the second or third century,
if I'm not
mistaken.
Yeah, and it still doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Or even baptism itself from John the Baptist. It doesn't make sense. These things came from people and found itself or made its way into the church.
And we don't have
it. Caused them a problem.
Yeah, we don't have it in the other denominations, by the way, of Christianity, like, for example, Protestantism or something else, right? Only in Catholicism.
Yeah, so some of them, they don't have that notion, but Catholics specifically, they indulge in this moral sin of being a celibate and depriving themselves of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to have a wife and a child. In fact, if they had allowed their priest to marry, the priest will be able to give more to the community, give more to the society,
true, indeed.
Because they can feel the pain and stuff like that. But when you have a priest, you don't allow him to do anything. I mean, what is he going to do?
Yeah.
He's a human being.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to say this, but
The porn addiction amongst priests is extremely high. Child molestation is extremely high. Rape is extremely high. And like I said, a lot of people, you know, they keep it quiet. They just don't talk about it. And a lot of people who, a lot of the children who get molested, sadly, they themselves don't talk about it as well.
Exactly.
Because they are afraid to say. But you find that 30 years later, they start to talk about it.
Yeah.
I remember in Australia, there was this old priest. He's like, he's, you know, he even, he's too old to be, he's not in the church anymore. Late, after 40, 50 years, people came forward. Because then time has changed and people start talking and became, back in the day, if you were molested or raped,
people are too shy,
or anything,
especially I'm talking about the victims.
People were afraid and they did not know how to deal with it. So if someone was raped in the 90s, they would never say it to anyone because they just feel ashamed of themselves.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Sayyid Abdullah, and thank you, Sister Asma, for helping me out, criticizing the movie Father Stew, producing 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Thank you for listening to this program, Viewpoint, on IRIB English Radio. We say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.